Well, we are continuing our series titled Live by the Spirit. As we allow the Spirit to lead and guide our lives, we live out what it is to be a new creation in Christ. The scripture tells us in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is peace. What a wonderful thing to have peace. Amen. It is one of the greatest needs of mankind. In fact, the famous evangelist Billy Graham said it was the greatest need of man. But here's what I know. It is something that people in this world are searching and looking for all of the time. All of us need peace. And here's the thing. It is the fruit of a spirit-filled life, a spirit-led life. As we learn to live by the Spirit, peace comes in our life. You know, we all know as Christians that we're supposed to have peace, but it seems like a lot of the time, Christians don't seem to have much more peace than the unbelieving world around them. It is another one of those areas where it seems like there's a disconnect between what the scripture teaches and tells us and what people end up living out in their life a lot of the time. And I really believe as we hear the word of the Lord this morning, the Lord can help us to learn to have this fruit of the Spirit, peace in our life on a daily basis. You know, not having peace just opens you up to all kinds of problems and trouble. I mean, doctors will tell you that being stressed out and anxious can cause headaches, stomach problems, heart attacks, weight gain. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And a lot of us are well aware of those consequences of stress. In fact, when stress just gets so great that it takes its toll on the body and the body finally breaks down, they call it a nervous breakdown. It's just from an overload of anxiety and stress. And then there's all kinds of mental and emotional problems that anxiety and stress can bring in our life. How we need this peace that's available to us. The need for peace is so great that people will do just about anything trying to find peace. You know, the old song that says the looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, people look for peace in all the wrong places. They don't find it that way, but they're looking in all kinds of places. The only place you find real peace is in Jesus. He's the source of real peace. But a lot of people will, you know, and I'm not saying that these things are wrong. I'm saying they can't be the source of peace. A lot of people look for peace just in some kind of entertainment or pleasure. I mean, whether it's, spending a few hours out on the golf course or you're just wasting some time playing a game on the internet or whatever else it might be, it's just an escape for a little while. The problems don't go away. It may occupy your mind for a few minutes, but it doesn't bring real peace. You know, listen, so many think that they're going to get peace from a bottle. And I'm not just talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about believers who think, you know what? I just need to relax a little bit. I just need a drink or two. You can't find peace in a bottle. You can numb your mind for a moment. You can maybe relax the body a little bit for a moment, but you can't find peace in a bottle. And you can't, listen, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not saying this isn't a real issue. I'm saying that it is a real issue that people are anxious and stressed out, but you can't find real peace from a pill, whether it's an illegal substance or a prescription substance. Real peace comes from Jesus. And that peace is available to us as the children of God. We need to learn how to live by the Spirit and live in this peace that He has given to us. You know, some people, they try solitude. They think, well, if I could just get away from everything and everybody else, I can have a moment of peace. Well, you know, you might manage to close off some of the issues for a little while. The problem with being alone with yourself is you end up thinking about all those things. Unless you're talking about getting alone with Jesus. Now, that's different. That might work. Amen. Well, that will work. Praise the Lord. But I just want you to know real peace comes from the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Oh, that's a good word. If you've ever heard any good news, I will tell you that's good news. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give to you. If you believe it, you can receive it. I want to remind you of the words of Jesus, the promise of Jesus in Mark 11, 24. He says, whatever things you desire when you pray and believe you receive, he says, you will have it. So if you'll ask Jesus, he says, my peace I give to you. You ask Jesus on the basis of his promise, Lord, I need your peace. And you believe you receive it, he says you're going to have it. I just want you to know this peace really is available to us. The world's peace, he says, it's not like what the world gives. The world's peace is fragile. It's elusive. It's dependent on the circumstances of life. I mean, it's dependent upon whatever's going on in your life or in the world. Jesus' peace is internal. It's something that's unshakable. It's something that is, well, it's not dependent upon circumstances. No matter what the circumstances, you can have this peace that Jesus gives. But as long as we're looking for everything else to be, you know, perfect and all the stars lined up and everything in our life is just the way it ought to be, as long as we're expecting that to happen before we can have peace, we're never going to have peace. Real peace, Jesus' peace, is an inner peace, not an outer peace. That's why he says, the peace I give, it's not like the world's peace. The world's peace never lasts. Jesus' peace, it's eternal. It'll last. If you're waiting, I'm telling you, for all the circumstances to be perfect, you're never going to have peace. I mean, we get a bad report from the doctor. Does your peace go right out the window? See, there's always something going to happen. You get a letter from the IRS. What happens to your peace? I got one of those earlier this year. Oh, man. Did you know you can still have peace on the inside? It's available to us. Peace on the outside, it always comes and goes, and mostly goes. Yeah. But Jesus' peace can't be taken away. Don't let your heart be troubled. You see, it's something on the inside, not something on the outside. It's in your heart. It's not the absence of outward conflict. It's the absence of conflict on the inside. Peace. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Where? In me. Your peace is in Jesus. In me you might have peace. Trouble's not going to go away. He said, in this world you're going to have trouble. That's true. It's true. Yes, you're going to have trouble. But in Jesus, you can have peace. Trouble. Trouble at work. Trouble at school. Trouble in the home. Trouble with your finances. Trouble with your health. Trouble with the kids. Trouble with traffic, trouble with ministry. That's right. Anybody got any trouble this morning? Anybody upset this morning? Are you feeling pressed under the load of life? There are fears and worries. Are you anxious? Are you tense this morning? I want to tell you, Jesus has a peace a peace that comes in the inside, no matter what's going on the outside. Always going to be things to stress over, bills to pay, outlaws and in-laws. So hopefully they're not the same people, right? Troublemakers. But God is still in control. Yes, sir. And get this, he's not anxious or worried. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe, the Almighty, the all-knowing, he's not anxious or worried, not even a little bit. And he's the source of our peace. Once again, Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you." I want you to understand that one of the things he was talking about when he said this to the disciples, "These things I've spoken to you," he had just a little bit earlier told them about the Holy Spirit that was going to come. And he said that he will be the helper, the comforter, the counselor. He's going to guide us into truth. I just want you to understand that a part of the reason that we can have this peace, he told us about the Holy Spirit coming. The Holy Spirit comes to comfort us, to guide us, to help us. And it is as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, as we live our life by the Spirit, and we walk in the Spirit, that we see this fruit of peace in our life. This is supposed to be a part of the Christian life. It is one of the amazing blessings that we have in the Lord as a spiritual person. Anybody catch that, what I said? Because I'm going to tell you the straight up truth this morning. A carnal Christian knows little of the peace of God. You may get a little dab here and there, but there are too many that have settled for being a carnal Christian and not really experiencing the full weight of the blessing of God's peace in their life. I mean, they got their name written down in the Lamb's book, but they're missing out on so much that the Lord has for them. Struggling too much like the world instead of living the life that God has for them. And I just want to raise the bar this morning, because I tell you, we have lowered the bar again and again and again in Christian culture today. We should be a spiritual people. Listen, I'm just going to tell you the truth. We don't want to play church. None of this lukewarm, casual Christianity. It's not real, it's not life-changing, and it doesn't help anybody. What we need is to truly be spiritual people, that we're true followers of Jesus, that we want to be more like Jesus. We're talking about living a life led by the Spirit. We got to be a spiritual people. And I want to challenge you and encourage you today. You're thinking, "Well, I'm not very spiritual." Well, it's time to change that. It's time for you to make some choices in your life that you're going to truly make Jesus your Lord and live it in all that he has for you. Because I want to tell you, it's so good. Listen, just this one issue alone ought to settle it, whether you want to be a lukewarm Christian or be a spiritual person. Do you want real peace in your life? Or do you want to still be stressed and anxious and fearful like the world? It won't happen just because you go to church some. It'll happen because you're truly allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide your life as a spiritual person. God has something better for you. And if we want to live in that peace as a new creation, you see, we're a new creation. We've been born of the Spirit. We can't allow that old nature to rule in our life. But instead, we learn to live by the Spirit. We yield to the Spirit. We allow the Spirit to lead us. And to live that life, you see, that we've been called to, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit. And he helps us. So we can't allow that old nature any longer to have its way. That's why the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The flesh, it's referring to that old nature. And before, when I talked about this passage, I read it from the NIV, But instead of flesh, the NIV says sinful nature. I want you to understand flesh is a literal translation of the Greek word that was there. Now the NIV, they're giving you the figurative meaning. It's talking, when it says flesh, it's talking about your old sinful nature. But I just want to put it back this way this morning because I think there's something to this when we're talking about peace. This is flesh. I got a little extra. This is flesh. The spirit is on the inside. This flesh is so subject to the world around us. It is so easily influenced by the world around us. Circumstances and situations influence our flesh. And you need to understand, you see, if that's what's ruling our life, we're never going to have peace, except when everything is all going great. But when the Spirit is leading and guiding our life, you see, the influence of the Spirit, we're going to have peace no matter what situation we're in. He says very plainly, walk in the Spirit. In the NIV, it's live by the Spirit. I just really believe that when the Bible says something this plain, this clear, it is just as much a command as the verses where it says, this is a command. When the Bible tells you, walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, there's a choice to make. There's a reason that he says to do this. It's not automatic. You have to choose to do it. You have to make a decision that you're going to live by the Spirit. You're going to walk in the Spirit instead of just living the same old life. And I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning to make that decision that you understand it's not automatic and you don't any longer want to live the same old kind of life. You want to live this Spirit-led life. He goes on, he says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They want two different things. They're contrary the one to another so that you do not do the things that you wish. See, as long as we give in to that old nature and we don't choose to live by the Spirit, we're still going to live the same old life. The flesh. It's driven by the old nature. The Spirit, that inner man. You see, there's a leading that comes from the inside. The flesh, it's just influenced by the world around you. Somebody said something you didn't like. You had car trouble. Your kid got in trouble at school. Your peace goes right out the window because that old nature is still taking its influence and cues from the world around it. But you see, the flesh, it's always driven by the storm. It's always driven by conflicts. But on the inside, that inner man, the Spirit, he can cause you to have peace no matter what's going on the outside. The Spirit doesn't get upset. The Spirit doesn't get worried. The Spirit doesn't get bent out of shape. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. So when we live in the Spirit, we can have peace no matter what. Choose to live by the Spirit. Choose peace instead of strife and anger and envy and bitterness and malice. See, I'm talking about those works of the flesh. You see, we want peace. We don't want those things in our life. Choose peace over anxiety and pessimism and every kind of worry and fear. That's all that old nature. If we're yielding to the Spirit, we're letting Him lead us, you see, we have peace. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:9. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You're born of the Spirit. If you're born again, You are born of Him. You are born of God. Spiritually, you are born of God. That's what it means to be born again. And as a born again child of God, you are supposed to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons, the daughters of God. That's part of our new nature. As a born-again child of God, we're peacemakers. And you know what? If we got peace on the inside, it ought to be showing up in our life on the outside. It ought to show in our character and the way that we live our life that we're not contentious, we're not prideful, we're not selfish, we're not unyielding. Those are all things of that old nature. Instead, we submit ourselves to one another. That's what the Bible says. We're humble. We're meek. We're kind. And those things all lead to peace. We choose to let the Holy Spirit lead us, and we choose peace. Part of our nature, part of our inheritance in Christ. So why do we struggle so to walk in the Spirit and to have this peace? I want to tell you there's a real key in Romans 8, 5, and 6. We've been there the last several weeks, but it speaks clearly to this issue. Romans 8, 5, and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. They're just thinking about the things of the world around them. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Their mind is on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded is life and peace. I got to tell you, I like to think of myself as a spiritual person, but too often I get upset, bent out of shape about something, and then it's later, after the fact, that I realize that in that moment, I didn't pray. I didn't look to the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me and help me in that situation. And so I was all anxious and bent out of shape and upset. And you know, one of the things that happens when we lose our peace, we end up being unkind. It's just a fast way to destroy your witness when we lose our peace. But I'm just telling you that we're supposed to be spiritually minded. Are you spiritually minded? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if we're going to be led by the Spirit, if we're going to have this peace in our life, I want to tell you, we got to get our minds on the Lord. We got to keep our minds on the Lord. Here's a wonderful promise from Isaiah 26 and 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You see, do you really trust God completely? Then you can keep your mind stayed on him. The King James says fixed. You can fix your mind on the Lord. You don't let it wander, drift away, get focused on other things. You keep your mind stayed on the Lord through all the difficulties of life because you know that you can trust Him. And here's the blessing, perfect peace. You know, in the Hebrew text, that is actually shalom, shalom. It's the word peace twice. But when a word like that is used twice, It's like exponential. See, it's perfect peace. That's what's available to us when we keep our minds on the Lord. And this is in part how we walk in the Spirit. We're always thinking about the Lord. I mean, if you go for a whole day or you go for an hour without the Lord ever crossing your mind, you need to change some things. Because I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're driving down the road or you're sitting at a computer, the Lord ought to be crossing your mind some. You ought to be thinking about the Lord some. Doesn't matter what's going on, we trust him. He's too big, he's too powerful, he's too awesome, he's too loving for us to be worried and upset and anxious about what's going on. It doesn't matter how great the battle, how terrible the storm, our God is more than enough. You know, when you get a doctor's report and it's not what you were hoping for, well, here's what we need to be thinking. We need to be thinking about the Lord, our healer. See, when you encounter some kind of danger, you need to be thinking about the one who watches over you day and night. When there's some kind of unexpected financial need that arises, we need to make the choice to think about the one who supplies all our need according to his riches and glory. See, we just need to keep our minds right thinking about the Lord. One lady, she got on a plane. She was going to Cleveland. And she looked out one window, one side of the plane, and it was this beautiful sunset with all these beautiful colors. And then she happened to notice outside the other side of the plane that there were dark clouds and it looked like a terrible storm. And the Lord impressed upon her that this is the way her life was like. You see, she's still going to Cleveland, whether she looks out this window or that window, still going to Cleveland. And we still have the same destination, whether you focus on all of the negatives and all of the terrible things and you're looking at all this going on in your life and in our world, or you're looking at all the goodness of the Lord and his blessings on your life, and you're looking at the promises of God and all he has for you. What are you going to focus on? And you see, I'm just telling you, we need to get our minds right. And if you're having a hard time keeping your mind right, then you need to go to the Word of God because it'll always straighten out your thinking. The mind that's on the things of the Spirit has life and peace. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." See, the Word of God will get you thinking right again. It's not only the cure, though. It is a fantastic preventative. Because as wonderful as it is, when you get anxious and upset and you search the Scriptures and you find that promise, yes, do that. But what's even better is when you already got that promise down in your heart, and whatever comes, you've already got that promise ready. You know, you don't even let your mind start that direction because of the promises of the Word of God. That's why it says, and nothing causes them to stumble. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Sickness. He heals all my diseases. Psalm 103. By his stripes I am healed. He said, I am the Lord who heals you. I just got to tell you, there's so many promises that'll get you thinking right. Don't let some bad report steal your peace. Something happens with your family. Oh, listen. He says, you and your household will be saved. There's a promise somewhere in the Word of God for whatever you're dealing with. Next, if we're going to live by the Spirit and have real peace, we have to pray. That's right, it's come to that. If you want to live by the Spirit, if you want to have real peace in your life, you are going to have to pray. And again, I don't mean once in a while. You're going to have to pray all the time. That preacher's crazy. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to all go live in a monastery and pray 24 hours a day. What it does mean is that as we go through our day, we are in constant communication with our Lord, that we talk to the Lord. I mean, if you're going to be led of the Spirit, you're going to have to be talking to the Lord and listening and being sensitive to that still small voice, that inward witness that he'll show you. I mean, You're going to be led by the Spirit. Well, how about this for a prayer? Lord, show me what I need to do. Always going to be things in life that we're not ready for. Things and people and situations beyond our control. And we can get all anxious and upset. You know, for a lot of people, and especially an addict, those kinds of situations in life can be a trigger for drinking or substance abuse. But what if for us, we just made it, I mean, every stressful situation, everything that would worry us, everything that would make us anxious, what if we just took it as a trigger to prayer? It ought to be. I'm not gonna be upset. I'm gonna pray. Something happens I don't like, I'm gonna pray. Carmen and I were just a little late coming into service today. And because in between services, she's coming down the stairs from upstairs office and she falls down the stairs. She got a knot on her head, skinned elbow, skinned knee. And she's older than she looks, y'all. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how old, but at the end of the month, on the 27th, she will no longer be 65. And so I got to tell you, I get a little upset and anxious when I hear my sweet wife calling for me because she's fallen. But I'm so glad that I can pray. And the Lord is so good. And I can trust Him. I can have peace. No matter what the situation, the circumstance, can still have His peace. When you're anxious, when you're worried, instead, just automatically pray. What if we just got addicted to prayer? I mean, where any little thing just triggers you to pray. You're just looking for an opportunity to pray. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Nothing, nothing, nothing. How in the world can you do that? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So whatever you're worried about, whatever you're stressing over, I'm telling you, it's time to pray about it. If we just spent a fraction of the time that we spend worrying and talking negative about things, I'm going to tell you our stress levels will go way down if we spent that time praying instead. Now, here's a common issue. Let's just head this off. Well, I was worried or I was anxious and I prayed about it, and then I just still felt the same. Nothing changed. You didn't pray long enough. You see, you don't have to talk a long time for God to hear you. Jesus makes that real clear. The issue is not whether or not, you know, you've earned it or like you got to pray long enough to earn it. The issue is, and I know from experience, I know what I'm talking about. When you pray, sometimes it takes a while for you to turn it over to God and release it to Him. You prayed, Lord, take care of this. Well, nothing changed. You didn't get it. You pray until you can thank God. You pray with thanksgiving. You pray until you can thank Him for taking care of it. It may not be different yet. That's why it says, the peace that passes understanding. It doesn't even make sense. But when you pray through, you get to the place where you have truly turned it over to God and you thank Him for taking care of it. Yes, the peace that passes understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. How wonderful to be able to take all of those things to the Lord and to walk away with peace. Peace. You can't maintain peace without prayer. We need to pray and walk in the Spirit. As I'm telling you, this peace is for us. It's available to us. It is supposed to be an evidence in our life that we are Spirit-filled, Spirit-led people. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is asleep in the boat. With the disciples out on the middle of the lake, and there is such a great storm that even these experienced fishermen are truly afraid that they're gonna die. That's a bad storm, a really bad storm. They were taken on water. What's Jesus doing? He's sleeping in the boat. I want you to know that is some kind of peace. That's a peace that passes understanding. That doesn't even make any sense. He's asleep in the boat. My peace I give to you. That kind of peace is available to you, child of God. My peace I give to you. Peace to be able to sleep even when there's a terrible storm and water's coming into the boat. Yep, he's sleeping. The disciples wake him up and they express a sentiment that I think that a lot of Christians feel at some time in their life. Lord, don't you care? They said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? We're about to die. Don't you care? And sometimes we feel that way. Like, Lord, don't you see what's going on here? Don't you care? And if he would just do everything that we want, everything would be good. Jesus gets up and first he rebukes the wind and the wave. He says, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. Oh, the power of our God. He can calm any storm. And then he rebukes the disciples. He says, you have little faith. How is it you have no faith? That's what he said. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I want to tell you, we need to trust the Lord. No matter what the storm is, he's not asleep. He knows. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. But we ought to be able to sleep even in the midst of the storm. We know that we're going to be all right. Now, I'm going to tell you the straight up. Sometimes God doesn't stop the storm. Sometimes we go through the storm. Sometimes we go through difficulties and challenges and hard places in life. But know this, there is a way that we can still have that peace. Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, peace, be still, and there was a great calm. He is Lord of the storm. Is he Lord of your life? Is he Lord in your heart? In Psalm 46, he says, be still and know that I am God. You see, there can be a great calm in your heart on the inside. In spite of the storm going on the outside. Remember, his peace is not an outward peace. It's an inward peace. And it's there no matter what the situation. Oh, that peace is for us. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.